Libstar's reported revenue up 4.6% for the half year, fueled by organic revenue growth as demand for baked goods increased and spice exports took off. That's further translated to a 12.4% jump in normalized headline earnings per share. And CFO Robin Smith joins us now with more of the detail. Thanks so much, Robin, for your time this evening.
Thank you for having me.
I guess a sign of the times that we have a white label or private label products outstripping growth in named brands as consumers look to stretch their back as far as they can. And that's certainly working in your favor over this half year period.
Indeed. And it's not just the traditional affordable private label products that are growing ahead of named brands. It's also your upmarket dealer-owned brands like the Woolworths product is a dealer-owned brand, and there's a demand from consumers for choice, for newness, for excitement in foodstuffs, and then obviously for value. Mm-hmm. And I think a combination of those things is driving that growth, and there's renewed trust in dealer-owned brands and private label as the quality and the price points improve.
Looking at your supply, you supply food under the store labels of Woolworths, as you've mentioned, ShopRite, Click, Spar, Pick and Pay as well. How's the changed economic climate impacted shifts in their orders or inventories? You know, what you're supplying now from, let's say, a year or two ago?
Look, I think the retailers have all discovered, including Pick and Pay, who've openly stated that they would like at least 30% of their products to be in their own brands. They haven't dimensioned that in terms of time, but it's a stated intention. I think the retailers enjoy the sales of their own brands because they generally bank more margin out of their own brands than they do out of other named brands. But of course, you need the brands in the stores in order to create the pull into the stores and then try and sell out your own brands on some other proposition other than just brand value.
Okay, so that being said, of course, this division represents only half of your revenue, the rest coming through from your own brands like Denny and Lancewood as well. So does it necessarily translate to you feeling any pressure on that end or not so much?
No, not so much. We like to differentiate ourselves by calling ourselves a branded solutions company. So together with the dealer-owned brands and private label, our own brands are brands that we represent on behalf of offshore principals, put that into a box, and that's 84% branded solutions. And that's how we like to work with our partners in both the retail and in food service for that matter.
Okay. Revenue up almost 5%, headline earnings per share rising more than 12%. Speaking to cost efficiencies being extracted somewhere along the line, give us some of the background there.
Well, we were able to increase our gross margin by 2.3 basis points, up to 22.3 or whatever it was exactly from last year. And that was a combination of better mix of sales, but more importantly, more productivity coming through, more efficient procurement, more efficient production, more effective use of your factories, etc. That all impacted on lower cost of production, which impacted on the gross margin, which enabled us to prop up our growth in EBITDA ahead of the growth in the top line.
Yeah, let's talk about those production lines because you've been investing in new factories. More recently, you've commissioned a baking plant and we saw PMI numbers come in just this week. Pretty disappointing. It's looking strained still. What's your reading of that environment as a manufacturer in the space?
Well, we bottle that all under the heading of expansion. It's one of our drivers of growth is expansion. And what we mean by expansion is investment in new capabilities and new categories or subcategories. To use your example, the Parbag frozen plant, it's not new technology, but there isn't another Parbag frozen factory in this country. And the opportunity with Woolworths arose to partner them in the development of a Parbag frozen factory. And there was a natural investment opportunity in plant and equipment to give us another revenue stream that wasn't there before.
Also interesting is that you're looking at a local manufacturing plant for Pringles, the local production of yes. Kiri and Laughing Cow as well. That's expected to start in coming months. So what does that do for you down the line now in terms of pricing and the margins it affords you?
Well, the reason that people like Kellogg's have gone for a local manufacturing solution as opposed to importing Pringles as they've hitherto done is because the margins for themselves on shelf is that much better than transporting air from Malaysia to South Africa, to use that as an example. So we as a low-cost, world-class manufacturer can offer principles like Kellogg's, for example, a better price on shelf through local manufacture.
Mm-hmm. I ask because one wants to get a sense of, you know, the extent to which you're able to pass any cost savings down to the consumer completely in a bid to keep sales volumes up. You've warned of aggressive competitor discounting and constrained demand in its markets. Yes. And one would assume that this is a lever you get to pull.
That is a lever we get to pull. And the promotional activity, as we've indicated, we don't think that's going to abate too soon, but it's a question of how you work with your retail partners to promote efficiently without eroding margins too much.
Let's leave it there, Robin. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this
Thank
evening.
You so much.
That, of course, the CFO of Libstar, Robin Smith.